Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
All right, we will get back to open lines as we round out the program today. 250-386-1161, star 1070, a free call on your wireless device. But we had a call, and this is completely fair. We had a call in the last hour saying, Adam, we love a lot of the work that we do here on the program and how it benefits the community. We're doing a lot of COVID in trucks lately, though, and there's a lot of other things going on. We live in a complicated world with any number of matters that need to be addressed. If left unattended, we cannot expect good results to happen on their own. Good things take work. All of us understand that. I want to talk about climate change and carbon taxes. Oh, I know. You're going to roll your eyes. You're going to say, Adam, I don't want to talk about that either. Well, tough, because we need to. It's going to affect our world economy going forward. And one of the goals that was recently articulated at COP26, and again, this was by Justin Trudeau, who some of you are a fan of and some of you less so, said that hopefully by the year 2030, as a goal, 60% of the human race, all the countries on Earth, should have some form of carbon pricing. Why is that? Well, it's a phenomenon that economists call leakage. When you tax carbon dioxide emissions in one jurisdiction, what can happen is if there's a place where those emissions could happen outside the reach of a government to tax them, and then you could just import the goods of those processes, industrial or otherwise, to the jurisdiction with the carbon tax, it's a way to get around paying the tax. And you're losing economic activity to another jurisdiction, ergo it being somewhat self-defeating. But what if, ladies and gentlemen, what if I told you that if enough nations around the world adopted carbon pricing, that because we here in Canada, British Columbia specifically, was the leader, the first jurisdiction in North America with a carbon tax, that we could actually have an edge and come out on top financially? Well, when the mining industry fights carbon taxes, according to our next guest, it is arguing against its own economic interests. That's according to new research, UBC's Norman B. Keevil Institute of Mining and Engineering in the School of Public Policy and Public Affairs. Here to talk more about this, we're joined by the study's lead author, Benjamin Cox. Good morning and thank you for your time.
Good, thank you for your time. It's a fun conversation that very much upsets certain people because heaven forbid we have more taxes.
Well, nobody likes paying more taxes, and the phenomenon of economic leakage in terms of regulatory evasion is something that I hear quite often. Folks, they say, well, Adam, if we have these carbon taxes, we've got mining jobs here now. If we suddenly impose this additional burden on industry, how are we going to stop them from being outcompeted in other jurisdictions that simply don't have these regulations? Help us understand this.
So for BC's got two fundamental advantages over other jurisdictions. A, it has access to extraordinary amounts of very cheap, very green hydropower. So BC's operations are already some of the lowest carbon footprint mines in the world. So it's not like BC's eating from a net negative position from a regional perspective. The second thing is the materials that BC makes are going to be key to the green economy. Every piece of green technology has to be mined. Solar panels are mined. Wind turbines are mined. We're not creating green technology that's not mined. Mm-hmm. Now, what's super interesting is if you look at the average coal production globally, and I'm citing someone else's numbers here, mm-hmm. it's about 3.8 tons of carbon per ton. Sorry, for the average copper production, talk about a slip of a tongue. The average copper production globally is 3.8 tons of carbon per ton of copper that's produced. That mm-hmm. ton of copper is about $10,000 U.S. right now. Mm-hmm. So that value per ton of copper in carbon terms is about $2,000 per ton of emissions. If we were to instead use those emissions, we have to look at our carbon budget as a diet. We only have so many calories we can eat,
yeah.
and we have to choose how we're going to use them. If we use the same calories to burn coal for power, we get maybe $100 of electricity. So it's you can get $2,000 of copper or $100 of electricity out of the same set of emissions, and that's where resources that are naturally rich in base metals and precious metals as well have such a fundamental advantage because they can get far more economic activity out of the same amount of emission.
So why aren't we doing that?
Why aren't we supporting carbon taxing?
Yeah, it seems like there's an economic case here, so why isn't it happening? Why do we even need to say it?
Because mining companies fundamentally view taxation as resource nationalization. Mm-hmm. They're terrified by resource taxes because they say, oh, they're trying to take from us what is ours. So every mining company has a de facto response to taxation of, oh, no, me. I don't want to pay more taxes. You're nationalizing me. We're going to lose. The jobs are going to leave. Mm-hmm. And that was a really great argument until about 2005. Until 2005, there were lots of exploration opportunities. There were lots of new projects. A copper mine in one region could shut down for another copper mine to start up in another region. But at this point, we don't have enough resources in the ground anyways. So the mines aren't going to leave a region because we fundamentally need more mines than we have currently. Supply is far less than demand for most base metals. So it's not like it's going to leave, but the old school, that old school that's terrified of, if you tax us, we're going to be out of business, is scared. But let me put this in quantitative terms. Mm-hmm. A $30 to $150 carbon tax will be less than 10% of revenue in today's terms on the copper business.
Yeah.
That same tax, let's put it on B, will be 100% of revenue.
Okay. Yep.
So there's no fundamental, the mining industry doesn't pay any taxes in this outcome. They're not quite Jeff Bezos level of avoiding taxation, but they're not. They don't have a particularly high burden. So they get a look good, they get a support, a taxation that forces demand of their economy, and they pay a tiny tax bill. Sounds like a win-win to me.
10% of revenue, though, are there margins exceeding that right now in terms of profitability?
Way exceeding that.
Okay.
Way exceeding that. Mining is incredibly profitable right now.
What about public appetite for some of the other environmental impacts of mining not linked directly to carbon emissions? Tailings ponds, the Mount Pauley incident, of course, coming to mind, as well as other concerns.
I think that mining, and this is where me and Sally, who's my co-author, look at this. Mining has so many places where it disagrees with the environmental movement.
Yes.
It should find where it has common ground.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, mining depletes. It doesn't depreciate. It depletes natural resources. We get to mine an ore body once. We get to use it once. So we are fundamentally never going to be sustainable. So the only place where we've got common ground is when our products are used to make the rest of the world more sustainable. But we have to fix those other problems. But before we start fixing those other problems, we first have to break bread with the environmental movement. We have to find places of common ground. We have to find places where we can agree on something. Because if you don't start with agreement somewhere, you spend your entire life fighting. And currently what we have is we've got an entire group of people out there fighting new mines, fighting the mining industry at all costs, yet they need the products from the mining industry to fight their bigger fight, which is CO2. So we have to find common grounds. And that was the point of our research. Where is there a common ground? And one of the places where there's a common ground is on carbon taxation.
So just to make sure I understand this correctly, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be obtuse. If there was broad carbon taxation, the economy as a whole would demand enough base metals to make cleaner technology that any increased costs the mining industry carried due to the tax would be offset by the new customers it suddenly had trying to get its products to make clean tech. Do I have that right?
So that's the first part of it. The tax would be de minimis against any shift in demand.
Okay.
That's your first part. The second point is on a relative basket of goods basis. So when we go out and we buy a basket of things,
mm-hmm.
metals will get cheaper than almost any other commodity we buy because metals have such a low carbon footprint. So metals will be cheaper than food. Food prices will go up relative to metals. Energy prices will go up relative to metals. All other costs that we bring into our lives, with the exception of pure services, fundamentally will become less competitive than metals on a current economic basis.
Where can they
win both ways. They win coming and going.
Hmm. Where can people go for more information on this? Because I get the sense that some back reading would help flesh out some of the elements.
So there's an article that came out in Nature Communications, which you can Google, which is easy to find. And that's where we wrote up all of our stuff, and all of our supplementary backs are there. They can also find us on LinkedIn. And I also teach for the BRIM Institute, which is the Bradshaw Research. I'm going to get this completely wrong. The Bradshaw Research Initiative in Metals and Mining at UBC. So we teach a lot of classes, and we also do a lot of open learning via Zoom. So our goal is to shift the environmental discussion away from the opposition to, can we find common ground?
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest is the lead author of a new study called The Mining Industry as a Net Beneficiary of a Global Tax on Carbon Emissions, recently published in Nature Communications. Thank you so much for your time, Benjamin Cox.
Thank you for having me.
Have a good day. Bye now. Bye. There we go, folks. There we go. And it is a fascinating idea. Yes, you would see that tax in the short term, but the entire economy shifting to have greater demand for the base metals that the mining industry produces means that in the long run, the mining industry would actually make money if everybody had to pay a carbon tax, even when you deduct the amount of tax that the industry itself would have to pay. It's those sorts of interesting different equilibria that we try to model in terms of trying to understand what the future economy is going to look like and how places like British Columbia can stay employed, prosperous, and making money on the global stage. And I like it when it's not all doom and gloom. I'm always happy to find some good news on that front. Quick break, back after this.